And now the qualities, the pain, the solidarity of a community that can be expressed in a single image. Ezra Suarez is a Pulitzer Prize-winning staff photographer for the Boston Globe. He covered the Newtown shootings. He was also a photographer at the Rocky Mountain News in Denver and covered the Columbine Massacre back in 1999 at the beginning of his career. His is a journalism of small pictures where faces are taken out of time and place and infused with the qualities of a single event, a single tragedy. It is as if every time he snaps the shutter, the photographs of Ezra Suarez answer the question of how we are all doing, telling that story in a single face, often the face of a child. How a child can reflect all of us and his or her own personal grief at the same time is both the power and sadness of Suarez's work.
When I am photographing, my world becomes literally what I decided to be, meaning that I see a group of people hugging, grieving, but out of all those people, someone, some gesture, something about them will call my attention. I would focus specifically on them. Then all my attention goes to them. I literally get tunnel vision, and it's all about paying attention to what they're doing. When I cover events like this, I try to not think much about the total issue, the generalities, the big disaster, but only what I have in front of me at that specific moment. You kind of take it in piecemeal, and it's a lot easier to process. If you start thinking of the overall, you know, like the Sandy Hook, it was such a horrible story. It's overwhelming. So that's my approach. That's my coping mechanism. I choose specific people in a crowd, specific moments, and that becomes my world. Later on, I have to process the totality. But while I'm shooting, it's all about the one moment, the person.
Now, are those choices based on qualities of their faces, qualities of what they're conveying that you connect with directly as a human being? Or is it like composing colors on a palette?
It's more about the human. It's more about the human and the way they're reacting, the degree of their grief, the degree of their joy, the degree of the emotions they're feeling at the time. As far as composition at a palette, those come into play after I have chosen which way I'm going to be focusing it.
I'm reminded of conversations I've had with a colleague of yours, James Nachtwey, who also goes into situations that seem way too sensitive for any of us normal humans. And he absolutely believes and argues convincingly that he is supposed to be there, that he and his camera are supposed to be there at that moment of extreme sensitivity, of a moment before death, those sorts of things. Do you believe that as well?
I know Jim is, he's very big on the sense of duty. And it is true. When you are there, you are representing the eyes of the people that cannot be there. If you were not there, people might not know what's going on. So even though sometimes what we see are horrible things, you are serving a purpose. However, where I know Jim is amazing, and he's very respectful, and he's an amazing human. So I have no problem with the way Jim does things. But there are a lot of media members who are not as caring, as respectful, as sympathetic to people. And that's where I have issues. But, you know, you can do your job. But you know, I always tell people whenever I teach photography, I tell them it's all about how you treat people. It's all about how you interact with your subjects. You know, you were born a human being. You're going to die a human being. Whatever you happen to do in between, it's just your profession, your job, your call of duty, if you call it. But, you know, if you have to save a life or take a photo, you save a life. You know, it's all about the human and the respect of the human.
What did you learn positively and negatively covering the events of the Columbine shooting?
Columbine shooting, positively. To think of something positive I learned of Columbine. Well, you know, since it was the first of its kind in the U.S., and I was fairly new in my career, I had no idea that so many strangers could react so compassionately to an event of such catastrophic magnitude as a Columbine. The overwhelming sense of people caring, you know, it was just masses and masses of people and lines of cars just wanting to get to the area and pay their respects. So that's a positive thing. I had no idea that people, you know, strangers could feel so strong about an issue. The negative thing is that when people are at their most vulnerable and we have to do our jobs as media, it's, you know, people are not always, all media members are not always the most respectful. I would say when I did Columbine, it took about 6 days before those boundaries were broken, meaning that at the beginning, all the media that was involved in covering that scene was very, I would say they were very respectful. But it comes to a point where it becomes this feeding frenzy where, okay, we've done the basic stories. We've done whatever else got. What else are we going to get that no one else? And that's where people start breaking into the privacy of people. And, you know, asking the questions to the people that just lost everything with a microphone in their face while they're surrounded by what I call the media amoeba. And, you know, it's just, I find it to be intrusive. I find it to be disrespectful. And I know it's my job to do that kind of stuff, but I always try to stay away from that and wait. And I've had people that just start talking to me without, and all I did was stand by them and, you know, just made eye contact. It's the humanity in them that calls to you and vice versa.
We were both at Columbine, and I remember, you know, just how that community picked and chose among the media. There were people who the community understood were with them. There was a group of media who were inside, and they were going to stay inside. And I recall you as one of them. And then there was a whole group of media who were not on the inside and were never going to get in there. And how that happened is even today a mystery to me.
Well, you know, because I've traveled so much around the world, I've come to the conclusion that the more different people are, the more the same they are. Meaning that I have found myself on my knees, laughing my heart out with three Chinese old women who are sitting in little stools in the middle of a field. And guess what? I don't speak Mandarin. It's all about body language. And I truly believe that people at a gut level, they can understand, they can feel whether you're there to tell their story, to, you know, you're another human being that cares, or you're there to be exploitative.
Well, Estras, thanks so much. Have a great new year, and it's been a thrill talking to you. Thanks so much.
Same to you, and Happy New Year to you.